Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, newchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Welcome to this historical church service of A New Church. It's the first time ever we've planned our service for an online screening, although we usually have online streaming services. So I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in. Welcome to everyone who's watching this, all the connect groups, the watch parties, people from overseas. Want to say a huge welcome to our Renew Church Scotland family, Stephen and Karis, and all you guys over there that are watching this. We love you. We are praying for you. Thank you so much for joining in. And wherever you are, on your phones right now or watching in your lounge, maybe you're still in your PJs with a coffee, I'm not sure, but thank you so much for joining. And I usually walk around while I preach, and so this is a little bit awkward, me just standing or sitting in one place, so forgive my awkwardness right now. I'm sure it's going to be great, and every pastor in the world right now is going through the same thing, so bear with us. Just one more notice as well. Our notes are going to be on the Bible app, although I was thinking about that. Unless you've got two phones, it's sort of not going to work if you're watching this live stream. But the notes are going to be there all week anyway, so you can check those out. Bible app with Renew Church New Zealand. My message this morning is simply entitled Surviving a Pandemic. And I never thought that I'd ever have a sermon title like that, Surviving a Pandemic, but there it is. This is what we're living through. End of last year, I shared a series on surviving the storms of life, surviving when everything hits the fan, surviving discouragement. And this is sort of like a continuation of that series, Surviving a Pandemic. What is a pandemic? A pandemic is an outbreak of a disease that occurs over a wide geographic area and affects an exceptionally high proportion of the population. What is happening in the world right now is pretty much unprecedented. It's never happened before on this scale. There are only a very few people alive today that have experienced something remotely similar. World War II was a worldwide crisis, but nothing quite like this has ever happened before on this scale. I don't know what it's like in your part of the world, but in New Zealand right now, New Zealand's restricted gatherings to 100 or less. We've closed our international borders. We've got social distancing in place, self-isolation. People over 70 are encouraged not to mingle. Domestic travel is being restricted. And this is just in New Zealand. This is far worse in many other countries. We haven't had any deaths yet, thank God, but other places have. As far as church goes, never before have we ever cancelled a public gathering. When we were renovating this place, we had church at the beach one Sunday, but we've never before actually said, no, we're not going to gather together in a large gathering. So this is history. And despite my nerves, I am really, really excited about what this means for the church and how the church can go out and be more impacting than we ever thought possible during a time like this. This is the time for the church to shine. I really, really believe that. A.W. Tozer said this, "The fearful world needs a fearless church." The fearful world needs a fearless church. And as I've been praying over the last few days, I really do believe this. This is an incredible opportunity for us, the church, to put into practice what we've been taught for so many years. We've heard so many sermons and we've read books about how to encourage others in times of need, how to stand strong in times of shaking. We've heard all of those before in the comfort of our comfortable church seats. But now this is the time that we can actually put into practice all those awesome sermons that we've listened to over the years. This is the time. People have said, well, Simon, you shouldn't be closing down church. I don't think that the church can ever be closed down because the church is not a building. Church is people. We can't close ourselves down. Although we've had to restrict public gatherings, the large ones, the church is so much more than gathering together largely. When the church was birthed a couple of thousand years ago, they met in big services in Jerusalem in the temple courts. There were thousands upon thousands of believers meeting, but then persecution hit Jerusalem and they weren't able to meet publicly, but they still continued to meet where they could in smaller gatherings. We've got to remember that church has never ever been about a building. It's about people. It's about you. It's about me. So, how to survive a pandemic. Keys to surviving a pandemic. Again, I never thought I'd be preaching a sermon like this, but here we go. Number one, remember that God is still on the throne and He is good. Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. That's just one verse, but it's all throughout the Bible that God is good. And I don't understand why this has happened or what's going on. We don't have the answers, but we can still trust even when we can't understand, even when we don't see what really, or trying to work it out in our heads. God is always good. We can always trust. And during catastrophes and crises, or crises, whichever you say, we only really have one of two decisions to make. We can either blame God and run away from Him, or turn our back on Him in times of crisis, or we can run into God. Those are the only two choices we have. And I know enough about the character of God and His goodness to know that during times like this, that we don't really know what's going on, or you know, we're tempted to be fearful, we can run into God. He is a strong tower. He is a refuge. So remember that God is still on the throne and He is good. Number two, be sensible. Faith and common sense are not incompatible. Now, some people may think that when you give your life to Jesus, you give your brain away, but I have never, ever believed that. Faith and common sense are not incompatible. They work together. So please, as believers, let's role model common sense. Let's be sensible at a time like this. So please practice excellent hygiene, all the hand washing instructions we've talked about and you've heard. I'm not going to go into that, but please practice excellent hygiene. Practice social distancing, self-isolate if in doubt. And this one's a really important one for New Zealand at this time. Please don't panic shop. Now, who would have thought that during this time, toilet paper would be the one thing that everyone grabs? It's like, oh no, it's the end of the world. What do I need most in life to survive? Let's just grab all the toilet paper we can. It just doesn't make sense. I heard a statistic that even in New Zealand right now, we've got several years of toilet paper supply, so we don't have to worry. So I know it's getting pretty fearful out there. Please don't panic shop. As I've been saying, there's more than enough food to go around if we don't panic shop. So please be sensible. Number three, choose faith over fear. This is a big one because Christy and I have heard people this week saying, we know as believers we shouldn't fear, but I'm really struggling with being fearful. And right out there, right now, there is a lot of fear going on. My third point, choose faith over fear. Living in fear is not and has never been God's will for your life. And Jesus died on the cross and He rose again triumphantly. He did that not just for our sin, not just for our sickness, not just for our struggles, but also He did it for our fear. We don't have to live in fear. We can be completely free from fear. We don't have to live in it. So be encouraged this morning. We don't have to succumb or bow down to fear. But living in fear and living with fear are two complete different things. You know, fear is all around us right now. We're in the middle of fear. We're living with fear, but we don't have to be in fear. In Psalm 23, verse 4 to 5, it says this, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. So a couple of things there. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, not if or maybe if this is going to happen, it's when. So it's going to happen sometimes. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. He chooses not to be afraid. For You are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. So His enemies are all around Him, but He's still there in a place of blessing and triumph. And Simon Drake's paraphrase, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of fear. We can still be blessed, we can still be overflowing with joy even in the midst of fear. You honor me by anointing my head with oil, my cup overflows with blessings. We can still feast in the presence of fear. It says in the Bible that the kingdom of heaven is righteousness and peace and joy. It's never been about fear and anxiety and conspiracy theories. It never has been. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. But fear is a big deal. I heard a story was it yesterday or the day before? And I only heard half the story, so I'm just going to make up the rest of the story as I go along. But there was an ogre in a town, and the ogre was fear. It represented fear. And everyone was terrified of fear. This little girl who was fearless walks up to fear and says, "Why is everyone so afraid of you? Why are you so powerful?" And this ogre simply says, "I only have two weapons. My first weapon is I get up really close and personal with people, and my second weapon is I speak very loudly and I speak very quickly." And the little girl just thought, "Okay, if those are your only two weapons, I can triumph over you. I can overcome you by simply not listening." And I think that's such an amazing story. When fear whispers to us, when we're tempted to succumb to fear, don't listen. Just don't obey fear. So a couple of real practical things about this as we're talking about fear. Please limit your social or your media intake if necessary. You know, what we feed our mind grows inside and it comes out of us eventually. And man, every news feed right now, it's all about doom and gloom and coronavirus and worldwide epidemic. It's crazy. This morning on the news, on the Herald, the first one was world death toll soars. It's like so much information right now. I think we know what's going on. We need to have a little bit of information, but let's not binge on fear-filled information. And secondly, please continue to be careful about your speech and your actions. You know, we create worlds with our words. Kids are great receivers of information, but they're not very good at interpreting that information. And we've got signs up all around the place as a Christian school even right now, and we need to have those warning of the virus and stuff. But, you know, it's heartbreaking when you see little kids reading it, and it's like, you know, what are they thinking? How are they interpreting this? So if you've got children at home, we don't have to bow to fear. We're people of faith. We've got to be sensible, but just please be aware of what we're speaking during this time. Number four, stay in the grace zone. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Jesus says, "Are you weary? Are you carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways and you'll discover that I am gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me, for all I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear." This has been one of the most valuable life lessons so far that I know. If I do what God has called me to do, and if I do it the way God has asked me to do, there will be a grace upon my life. Grace is another word for a supernatural empowering. And I really do believe that, and this scripture is very clear. Simply join your life with mine. You will find refreshment and rest in me. So there is a grace zone that all of us can live in. It's in the shadow of God. It's being close to Him, even in times of great shaking and what's going on in the world. We can live in this incredible place of peace and rest. Psalm 91 verse 1 says, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty." If you're going to be in the shadow of someone, it means you've got to be pretty close to them. And that is where our grace zone is, being close to God. So I really encourage us in this time especially, keep your Bible readings up, stay close to God. If you go with prayer walks or if you're in your bedroom alone, whatever, just keep that connection with God close. Stay in the grace zone, especially worship God as well is so important. So a few more points. Number five, develop deep roots. Proverbs 1 verse 3 says, "Wickedness never brings stability, but the godly have deep roots." When the atomic bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in World War II, as you would imagine, in that impact zone, everything died. No living thing survived except for one living thing, which was the ginkgo tree. I think it's how you pronounce it, ginkgo tree. There was a tree that actually survived in the impact zone of an A-bomb. How did it survive? Simply because it had deep roots. And this verse is so important. The godly have deep roots. During intense times of shaking, we will stay strong. We will be pillars if we have deep roots in God. And the thing about roots is you never see the roots of a plant. It's always below the surface. Again, it talks about our personal relationship with God. If that is If we're close to God, if we've got depth in Him, then we will be able to withstand times of shaking. But so often in our life, we really focus on the external. I'm reminded of a story, a true story. There was a Swedish warship that was built called the Vasa in the 1600s. And the king said, "This is going to be the pride and joy of all of our nation, of the navy. We're going to build the world's most amazing, powerful, dangerous warship." So they focused on the armament. They focused on making it look so huge and amazing. It was just simply top heavy in the end. They never focused on developing ballast, which is the weight in the bottom of a ship. The larger or taller a ship is, you've got to have ballast in the ship. So they focused on just the external, on what everyone could see. And on its maiden voyage, it lasted 1 nautical mile, and as soon as a small wind hit it, it capsized and it sunk. The pride and joy of the Swedish army. Why was that? Because they didn't focus on what was below the waterline, the ballast. And in our lives, that's the most important thing, folks, is our relationship with God. If we have ballast in our lives, if we've worked on developing deep roots in God, we will be able to stay strong in times of shaking. Proverbs 92, verse 12 says, "The righteous flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green." I love this verse because it talks about roots again and being planted in not just our depth in God, but being planted in the house of the Lord as well. A community of believers. Again, it's not a building, but it's a community of believers. We call them local churches. So just get involved. The local church being planted in was never about just being a spectator. It has always been about participation. And this morning, putting this live stream on, we've got a small studio audience here made up of everyone that's been helping out beside behind the scenes, the tech guys, Stephen on the visual, Jasha and all those guys in the live stream room, Joanne there. All, I thank you so much. This is what it's all about. Community of believers doing what they can to participate. It's not about a building. It's about being part of something that is incredible, being part of the light of the world. So thank you, everyone, that's helping make this happen. Number 6, pray. Pray for your family. As parents, as guardians, we have authority over our families, so we can pray and pray bold prayers. We can pray off sickness. We can pray off calamity off our families. We have authority as the heads of our house. So pray for your family. Pray for your community. You know, Potiphar was an ungodly person in the Old Testament in Egypt, but he prospered because of Joseph. Now, we don't want our awesome communities to fail during this time. It's really scary. People are stressing out, not just about the physical stress, but what about the financial stress? People are wondering if their businesses are going to survive. People are wondering how, you know, if they're going to have a job in the next few weeks. And financially, it probably will get hit. I don't know if you've got KiwiSaver. My advice is just don't look at KiwiSaver at the moment because economically, we're in some trouble. But we can pray for our communities. We can pray for them that God will prosper them. Pray for your church family. People in our church family that may be struggling at this time, please pray for your pastors. If you don't go to this church, just, you know, whoever your pastor is. We've never gone through this before. We don't really know what's going on. We're just sort of making it up as we go along. Obviously, we're getting as much advice and counsel as possible, but, you know, it's a little bit stressful. We've got a family wedding in a couple of weeks. My son's getting married, so having to juggle all that at the same time as navigating and leading the church through this, we appreciate your prayers. Pray for deliverance. God is still a miracle-working God. So pray for deliverance. Believe that God will bring healing and an end to this. And pray for salvations. Talked about the physical stress, the financial stress, but what about emotional stress right now? A lot of people are feeling that they're stressed out. We can pray for salvations. People are ready to hear about the goodness of God right now. My last point, shine. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And then a little bit later on, he addressed his followers, he addressed his disciples, which related to us. He addressed his church, and he said, "You are the light of the world. It's almost like he tagged us and said, you're it now. Not shining our own light, but continuing to shine the light of Jesus. And it's interesting when you read the wording of that and you go into a bit of a word study, it actually says you and you alone are the light of the world. Now, we are called to carry the light of Jesus into this world. We are called to be fearless in the midst of fear. We are called to shine. This is our opportunity for the church to put into practice all we profess. So I challenge us, hopefully this has been really encouraging for us all, but I also give us a challenge to get outside ourselves, to help someone else, to ask for help, especially the elderly and that you know in your family circles or in your neighborhood. They are vulnerable right now. They're probably not sure what's going on. Just encourage others. Ask if people need help. Give hope in person, especially if you can, online. Let's just be a hope in a time like this and show people that Jesus is a refuge. He is the light of the world. He is the hope of the world. This is our time to shine. It really is right now. This is what we've been, all the sermons that we've listened to up to now pretty much, let's start to put them into practice. So in conclusion, John 16:33, I love this. It says, everything I've taught you, this is what Jesus is saying to his followers, everything I've taught you is so that peace, the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows. This is what Jesus said, we are going to experience troubles and sorrows. It's not one of those verses that you sort of see in people's walls or on their fridges or whatever, but it's true. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous, for I have overcome, I have conquered the world. Jesus has conquered the world. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run into him and are safe. Is Jesus your refuge this morning? Is Jesus the one that we are running into? Do you have anyone that you can run to for help at a time like this? Everything is shaky. Nothing is secure. But I know one thing, one person who is absolutely, infinitely, and eternally secure, and his name is Jesus. And he is inviting us to run into him right now, to be secure in him, to trust his goodness. He knows what he's doing, and he wants to look after us. Is Jesus your refuge? He's giving us all that opportunity this morning, no matter what you've done or how far away from Jesus you are right now. He's giving you that opportunity to run into him. He's done it all. He died on the cross, and he rose again, so that you could be free from your regret, from your sin, from your addictions, from your struggles, from your fear, that you could have a new beginning, a new start, and you could look forward to an incredible destiny, not just in this life, but eternal life with Jesus in the next life. He's offering us all that opportunity right now. He's saying, I can be your refuge. Please run into me.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.